Good morning and welcome to Plug Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. I'm Al Levine, and we're here this morning with Rescuing Families, the charity group with co-founders Vincent and Gina. I didn't catch your last names, guys. Vincent?
Santoro.
And Gina?
Santoro.
Wonderful. Okay, so Vincent and Gina here to talk about Rescuing Families. What's this all about?
Go ahead, man.
Well, here we go. We started Rescuing Families roughly about 2 years ago. We're licensed contractors for 12 years, servicing Nassau County, Suffolk County, all over Long Island. So we've really been seeing the families that have really been facing hardships in their homes. And we just have decided, you know, after doing that and seeing these families firsthand, of the struggles that they're facing every day. We would help renovate their homes, but they had so much more work that they needed, but they just couldn't afford it. So we would donate our time, donate our money, and fix these homes for these families. So we started to start a nonprofit rescuing families to help fund some of these projects because they were getting larger and larger.
Yeah, it was starting to come out of our pocket, which isn't that great because, you know, we're middle class like everybody else. We're contractors. We're kind of... We have to support ourselves as well. So the nonprofit that we came, the 501c3 that we created, helps us and enables us to be able to get funds to help us do the renovations for the families.
Okay. And so who qualifies for this?
Well, we work with disabled,
okay,
elderly, veterans, and it's not just physically, it's developmentally disabled, mostly lower income. We basically hit the lower middle class to more of the poverty level, yeah. Mm-hmm. To help. But there are times where there's just regular middle class, like they say that we're always one paycheck away from being homeless or one accident away from, you know, losing their home. We are dealing with some families this year that, in fact, that was the case. You know, they wound up injured or they had a child that they weren't expecting to be so severely disabled, and they cannot afford the repairs.
Right. So this could just happen overnight. It's something that,
yes,
just happens.
Yeah.
Bang, and you're in it. What inspired you to get involved with all this? What's the genesis on you stepping in?
You know, basically, growing up as a young kid, my dad was an Army veteran, a Vietnam War veteran. He got disabled from being in the war and so on to recently passing away. So he was disabled the whole time from me growing up or a good part of my time growing up, and I was helping him all the time, making the house handicap accessible, doing whatever we needed to do to make that home comfortable for him. And then he had recently passed away due to those illness from the war and so on. So I decided to do something in his legacy to, you know, bring it on to other people that were in his footsteps, and keep that path going of helping others.
And my sister is developmentally disabled, autistic, and deaf. And my dad is a Korean War veteran, and he's also disabled. And I lost my mom 9 months before we lost his dad.
Yeah. Wow.
So our families were reeling, and my family was a little bit on the lower income end. So repairs to their home were an issue for them because they were sinking all their money, since we're children, into my sister's care. You know, a lot of the insurance doesn't pay for a lot of the care for developmentally disabled, you know, children and adults. So they found themselves in a house that was really in bad shape, and we were trying to work and kind of, you know, support ourselves and help them as the best as we could. And we found that there was no help out there for a family like that. And then we started to run into more and more families that were experiencing the same thing that my family experienced.
So you're learning how to work some angles around the system to make this...
I know how to work all the angles because after my mom died, my parents fought a lot for the developmentally disabled, for the deaf. They've had actually all the signs that you see, deaf child area or autistic child area. That was my parents. So that's the legacy that they left for, you know, for us. So... In my mom's honor especially, I kind of just picked up the baton and ran with it. So I have access to a lot of the help for developmentally disabled, help for physically disabled, and help for veterans, because I got a lot of stuff from my dad that a lot of people don't know is out there.
Mm.
You know, so we don't just renovate homes. We help these people be able to stay in their homes through the services that they have coming to them. That a lot of them are not aware of. Yeah. So we want the house to be sustainable for them as well. We want them to stay in the home.
Mm. So through this whole educational process, What's one of the more fascinating things you find that you've learned along the way as far as like working the system or getting things to work in your direction? Or is there any one single thing that comes to mind or a couple maybe that...
You have to not... First of all, you have to be very tenacious. You cannot give up because it's such an...
People will say no.
Yes, they'll say no, and then you'll knock on another door, and you just have to keep going. As hard as that is for a lot of people, you just do want to give up, but you have to just keep going. You have to keep going because eventually you find the right person. It's all about the connection, whether anybody realizes it or not.
Networking, and
it's the people. You have to meet the right person that actually feels like they can make a difference, and they're in their job to make a difference.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just pushing paper around and become drones. So they're not as apt to be receptive to what you're saying or the plight that a family might be facing,
right.
And it's no fault of their own. Obviously, they're in a job themselves, and people get burnt out.
Yeah.
But you have to keep knocking until you find that one person that took that job and still feels the fire to make a difference in someone else's life.
Okay. Certain contact people, too, that you want to maintain a relationship
with. Exactly.
In order to get things moving. Okay. And you guys are certainly people that fit that category. We're talking with Vincent and Gina. Rescuing Families is their charity group. What's the biggest challenge you face? Obviously, we've talked about a lot of them so far, but what's a big one that you face with this particular charity and the work that you're doing?
The biggest challenge that we face is getting enough volunteers. That's number one.
Okay.
Getting volunteers, getting the help. That's a huge part for us. We're doing something good, and you would, we try to get so many teams and volunteers involved, but at the end of the day, we're not getting enough to help these projects. Since we're trying to accomplish 10 to 15 projects a year, and we're only a small family of really three of us, sometimes four of us. We do all the work other than the specialty trades like the electrician and plumbers,
but
all
we do
on us.
Else.
We're doing the landscaping, the kitchens, the bathrooms,
you
name
it.
We do the gutting. We do everything. So it's falling all on us, and we could always use extra hands in that part.
And it's not just the building that we need the hands in. I think this is where the issue comes in. Everybody likes to get in there and get their hands dirty and do the painting and do this and do that. And that's great. We need help fundraising. We need help. We do a charity yard sale to raise funds. We need help, for that. That's a tremendous, tremendous undertaking. So there are different areas that we do need volunteers for. So it's not just the building aspect, it's all other areas as well. So that's where I think the challenge lies. It's not just for one particular area of the charity. Our charity is multifaceted, really.
All right, so someone's hearing this right now and they're thinking, I might want to get involved with this somehow. What's the first step? Like, where do they reach you?
They can contact us, obviously, through Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Rescuing Families, very easy to find. They can email us at Rescuing Families, Inc., that's INC, at gmail.com, or they can call us at 516-697-9403. They just have to have a conversation with us. It's usually me
To the founders.
It's usually us.
Okay.
And we'll give them all the information they need, and, we'll send them out a packet to fill out.
Okay. All right. Good. We'll run through that again because some people might have missed it, and new people are going to be tuning in probably in another 5 or 10 minutes, waking up. Any other family members involved with the organization besides you guys?
Yeah, we have Gina's brother, Michael Cantone.
Yeah, he helps us out big time. He's really one of the actual group. It's a solid four of us that started this charity. It's Vincent, myself, my brother Michael, and a very, very close family friend, Roger Grandpierre, who's been in our life now for at least 12 years. Yeah.
How'd you hook up with him?
Him? It's ironic. My sister, through my sister's program, we met Roger. Roger was one of my sister's support staff.
Oh.
So he works with my sister.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he left, to do his own thing for a while. But we all remain so very close because when you have a staff member like that, they become part of the family.
They're
there 40 hours a week, working with your family. So it's nice. Yeah, so we maintain that friendship.
And do you balance your time with other things too besides the charity, or is it basically you're solely committed to you have life to live too, right?
Is there such a thing out there? That's a good question.
Rough.
And we're also trying to survive ourselves with our contracting company as well. So we try to fit that in, which is becoming a big challenge right now.
Very challenging.
Our priority, to be honest, has been the charity. I would say 90% of our life right now has been that.
Yeah. I take care of my sister, which, you know, you have to find time. You know, I kind of fall on the bottom. I think we both do
with our families.
We take care of his mom, my sister, my dad. My brother helps out a big, big time, thank God, with my dad. But, you know, so we have our personal lives that is very complex and very busy.
Uh-huh.
And then we have, you know, the contracting company. Then I have a business, you know, that I try to do on the weekends here or there, craft business, just to make some money. Yeah. I'm an artist. And then we have the charity, but the charity has become all-consuming.
I'll bet.
Which is good.
When we started the charity, I don't think neither one of us realized how much this would take off and expand, that it would be really 100% of our hours are spent with that.
Our house is donated to the charity,
basically.
Well, a lot of things that I noticed when I talk to, you know, a lot of these charity organizations across Long Island is passion that just charges, fuels them. It's the source of what they run on. You know, you guys are so involved and so self-motivated by this cause that, you know, sometimes you don't stop to think about how much time it takes and how much effort you're putting into it before it's already done.
No, it's true.
You know, easy for me to say looking at you guys, but I've seen that consistency across the board and talking to groups like you guys. So.
And it snowballs. It gets big very quickly in some cases.
What are some of the really rewarding moments you can think of? I mean, obviously there are some great stories, but like what's a great moment you can think of right now if I ask you?
You know, I'm gonna take this one. You know, going to the homes and people are just shocked that a family is coming into their house that is willing to help them get out of a situation that they can't believe they're in.
Yeah.
And we're going in there as, you know, we're a regular family. We're not anybody else other than ourselves. And these people are so excited to see us. It really, it takes us back every time we see the emotion that comes at us when they open their door and they're hugging and kissing us, that you got, I'm actually finally getting help that I never thought I was going to receive before.
Yeah.
And that's what does it for me. I mean, that's
a big, big part of it. And these are just home visits. This isn't necessarily telling them that they've been chosen yet, you know, to be on the list. This is just going there to evaluate the house. They're crying and saying we're angels. I think mine would be probably seeing them at the very, very end. You see such a stark contrast to when we first meet them and you hear the, you know, just they're worn out. They're worn out. I have to say that from just fighting or just being left behind. A lot of them feel like they've been left behind.
They've lost all hope when we get there.
And then when you reveal the work to them at the very end, because we keep them out of the equation until the very end, until we're done with the project, we bring them back in, and just to see the sheer joy and reaction as to just even just a bathroom, you know, just to renovate a bathroom, people, it's you see the difference you're making firsthand. Mm-hmm. You know, our volunteers were with us too, with our very first reveal back in June, and the volunteers were walking through the house crying because they said, "Wow, look at this! I cleaned this." Like everybody saw what part they played, even though they might not have been building, they saw the impact they made on the family.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. How do you go about choosing families to work with? How many are you working with this year? What's your schedule like on that?
Our schedule is rough. We're trying to get in 12 to 15 families this year alone, you know, barring no disasters. Because when we enter these families, you know, on paper, it all looks like it's going to be on schedule. And then we get other issues, state involvements or local what's the word?
What, building departments?
Building departments involved and so on, which can hold up these projects and hold up from these families coming back into their home. So we have an outlook of 12 to 15, but sometimes that doesn't always happen. Sometimes we're going to get done with 6 maybe or 8.
Yeah.
It's just the way the system is.
Okay. And where does the money come from for the renovations? How does that work?
We do it by public donations. And we hold fundraisers here and there, sometimes twice a year. But we do a charity yard sale. That's the bulk of our funds, a charity yard sale from April through November. We have about 7 now carport tents filling up our yard. That's like almost 1,600 square feet of yard sale. We have a pretty large yard. People all over Long Island, I've dropped off and donated items to be sold. And then we have people all over Long Island coming to this sale. So
wow.
When I say we sacrificed our house,
and our yard.
Our house has become the charity. It's really an extension of the charity. So that is our biggest fundraiser, is the charity yard sale. And it's a great way to be able to meet people. And we do get volunteers through that. We do get families that need help through that.
Okay.
We give away a lot of stuff to families that come that are in need. We've delivered couches to people that have been donated or facilitated, you know, appliances going to a family, you know. So that's why when I say our charity is multifaceted, we try to help the community any way we can. We got blitzed by the snowstorm in November, lost all of our tents, lost a lot of
tons
the merchandise.
A little more than half.
But everything that we salvaged, we donated. We donated it to the homeless shelters. We donated it to the VA. We donated it locally to families that needed it. And we said, you know what? We're going to start over again. And the community came out.
It came out like I've never seen before.
Our porch is filled every day. Like we say, okay, all right, the porch is
finally
clear.
We've organized everything. Everything is put where it needs to be. The next day we come back and it's full again.
And it's full again.
Wow.
So people have just been donating and donating. So that is our major source of funding.
And people are totally amazed that yard sales are supporting these large projects. But it has. And it's been the greatest source of money being able to be raised for this charity. It's been amazing.
Let's go over some numbers again while we're getting people to hear about all this. Rescuing Families is your group. It's Vincent and Gina we're talking about this morning. So let's talk about the yard sale first off. How would someone donate something to the yard sale?
They could give us a call at 516-697-9403. They can email us at rescuingfamiliesinc, that's INC, at gmail.com, and we can send you out an acceptable donation list. Or they can get us on Facebook on Rescuing Families. They can send us a message through there as well.
Okay. Yeah. And we're talking, this is a Long Island-based thing, right? Where are you guys based?
Franklin Square.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Other upcoming events besides the yard sale we want to talk about this
morning. Okay. We have a really great fundraising event. It's called Night of Laughter on March 22nd. It's with another group called Laughter Saves Lives. We've kind of joined forces. And they're a bunch of comedians. They're all FDNY and NYPD retired guys and some of their friends that put on shows for charity. And all of their proceeds go directly to 9/11 families that were affected by 9/11.
Okay.
The FDNY and NYPD. We are joining forces. They're doing a comedy show for us at the VFW Hall, post 2718 in Franklin Square. We have a lot of great sponsors on board. We have a lot of great raffle. We're giving away a Royal Caribbean cruise for two, a TV, and a bunch of other stuff.
Wow.
So
okay.
That's from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Yep.
And date again is March
22nd. March 22nd. It's a Friday night.
Okay. And it's at?
VFW Post 2017, Franklin Square, New York.
Okay. And again, to get involved with that stuff, same coordinates as we just gave before.
Same exact. Hit us up on email, Facebook, or that you can give us a call.
How do people get involved? How do they get in touch with you if they need to help out? Same thing?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So we talked a little bit about volunteers earlier. You're looking for those, anything in any particular areas that we're needing more than others, or what types of volunteers are you looking for?
Basically, for volunteer purposes right now, we're looking for if there's any possible licensed electricians or licensed plumbers out there that can donate their time. That would be greatly appreciated. And we're looking for volunteers for cleanup as well.
Yes, we always need cleanup on the sites. We try to use skilled labor for any of the work that has to be done simply because we want to give them the same product that we would give a paying customer. And it's hard to do an on-the-job kind of thing and train people that don't have the skill to do
right,
that.
Sure.
Not that I take that away from anybody, but we don't want to give a subpar.
And one of the biggest things is we need to get these families back in the home very quickly. Some of them are being put out into hotels, and some of these projects are taking between 4 to 8 weeks. So they're staying in a hotel at that time. So the biggest key for us is turnover. So that's why we truly, really want skilled labor force involved if they can be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How long you guys been doing this?
This is our second year.
Yeah.
The contract is close to 12 years.
It blew up very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. We started and it was basically an idea, Vinny's idea. And we started it and I put out an email through some of my sister's organizations and some of the VA. First 2 weeks, didn't hear anything. And then all of a sudden it was like it exploded. I was getting 100 emails every few days, you know, hundreds a week.
You
know, it's gotten crazy.
In the end, I just felt like we could do a lot more as contractors. We had the skill to do it, but that gets stale. You know, that'll get stale. You can only do so much as that. Why not put your forces out there, put your skills to help the community that have nothing and that are underprivileged? And so that's where we focus most of our efforts.
Our very first project was in Wyandanch. Two brothers, both disabled. One developmentally and physically, and one slightly developmentally. Yeah. And their house was a complete and utter disaster. It wasn't livable. No running water.
No running water, no heat.
No working bathroom, no heat for 15 years.
Oh.
Yeah, it was dreadful.
And then you have a disabled family member in a hospital bed bundled up. That's how we saw him on our first site visit.
No working kitchen. It was just bad.
So after we had seen that family, we already had chosen who we were picking.
He wanted to do something very small to start off.
We were a brand new charity. I said, let's just do a small project, a bathroom. Let's just, take
you
it slow.
An email like that.
And then we got that email that just blew us up.
And when we went and visited them, we said, that's it. That project took us a solid year.
That was a year.
A solid year. We did in and out the entire house, siding, roofing. The yard, the fence, the whole interior was gutted and redone.
Most people would have knocked that house down, but we that's not something we do. We always renovate the home. We don't make the homes larger.
No.
We keep this home in the same footprint. So when we leave it, it's going to be more energy efficient, and it's not going to have higher energy bills. So the families, they won't be able to afford it.
And the taxes.
And the taxes go up.
If you make a house huge, you're dealing with a lower income family. Their taxes go up.
Yeah,
they can lose their home from that as well.
Right.
So that's one of our biggest priorities.
We try to be smart for them, in order to give them a home that's livable, that's beautiful, functioning, and that they can afford.
So 2 years down the road here, what are we thinking? Obviously you had your expectations that were small at the beginning. Now they're changing, they're evolving along with the progress that you're making. What are some of the things you're thinking about in year three, let's say?
In year three, I think we're going to expand, obviously. We're going to look for a facility where we can house all these donations and maybe do these yard sales at a separate facility and not our home, so we can make it larger and bigger so we can raise more funds.
And to be able to store supplies
exactly.
for the builds and have an office space. We see that in a place where the volunteers can come.
Mm-hmm.
We just see it getting larger and being able to help more people, because we'll be able to have different crews. We'll be able to maybe help two families simultaneously.
That's the plan,
working on one home at a time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. On the up and up, it sounds like. Vincent and Gina from Rescuing Families. Let's talk about the event again, coming up on March 22nd, Franklin Square.
It is March 22nd. It's called Night of Laughter. It's us rescuing families with Laughter Saves Lives. We are holding a comedy fundraiser. It's five comedians, all FDNY, NYPD. We had to pay homage to that because of Vinny.
Okay.
He used to be an EMT with the FDNY.
For about 8 years did that and got injured. So then went back into
carpentry,
which is my true love. And
so that's how we found the comedians. They kind of found us and... it's going to be a good night. We're going to be raffling off a cruise. We're going to be raffling off a TV. We have beautiful raffle baskets. Fortune Off's jewelry was kind enough to give us a beautiful pair of earrings valued at close to $1,000 to raffle off. So it's going to be a really nice night. And News 12 is one of our sponsors as well. They'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. So let's run down the numbers again. We've got a Facebook page. We've got the phone number.
Okay. Facebook is Rescuing Families. Phone number is 516-697-9403. And email is rescuingfamiliesinc, that's INC, @gmail.com.
Website?
We have one. I do need a volunteer to help me with that because I don't have time for it. It's www.rescuingfamilies.org. It is still under construction,
okay.
So I apologize for
good
that.
Reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no time.
So we need a web designer out there.
Yes, we do. Please.
There you go. All right, guys. Good luck with everything. It sounds like you're really on the road to great progress and have done some amazing things so far. And just having this conversation here this morning. So continued success. Good luck with that event on March 22nd.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for being our guests this morning, Vincent and Gina, plugged into Long Island. The group, again, is Rescuing Families. You've been plugged into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI.